This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Oral History Series sponsored by the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mr. John Luttrell, President of the First National Bank of Decatur. And we're recording on June 4th, 1987 in Mr. Luttrell's office in the bank. Well, welcome to our series, Mr. Luttrell.
Well, thank you, Betty. I'm very pleased to be a part of it. It's nice of you to ask me.
Well, we're very happy. Were you born in Decatur?
No. Betty, I was born in Clinton. Clinton is roughly 20 miles from Decatur, and my family has lived in Clinton probably for several generations. My father was a banker at the John Warner Bank in Clinton for over 50 years, and his father and grandfather were farmers around the Clinton area. On my mother's side, her parents were railroaders. As you know, the railroad was so important to the development of Decatur and the development of Clinton. Clinton was a railroad hub for many, many generations up there with the Illinois Central Railroad. And I can recall going to my grandfather's house and sitting around the kitchen table, and all the railroaders would railroad in conversations around their table, and they were really enthralled with the railroading. That was their whole life. But that's changed a lot now. As you know, the railroad has really cut back, and with the airlines and the trucking, why the railroads have lost their importance, and as a result, the city of Clinton has declined in its importance and its size, and even Decatur's noticed a big change because of not having the railroads come through at one time. So that I was fortunate enough to know my grandparents and on both my mother's side and my father's side, and they're what they gave me, and their life's heritage has helped me along for many, many years.
Well, great. I know many people in Decatur have close association with Clinton, and it is true that railroading is an important part of both communities, and banking too.
Yes.
That is still a great bank, as well as the banks here in Decatur. So you really had an interesting background for your present position.
Right.
Now, what about your childhood? Can you tell us something about that?
Well, I was, as I say, born in Clinton, and I do have a younger sister. She's 15 years younger than I am, so for the most of my childhood, I was an only child, and I can recall that I was active in athletics in high school, and we were playing a basketball game one time at the in the high school, and my mother let me know just before the basketball game, or my father did, that I had a new sister. So she came along after I was practically through high school, and we've been very close, even though she is younger than I am. And really during the high school years, we were fortunate. We didn't have any serious illnesses or anything like this. We certainly enjoyed the high school and the schooling at Clinton. Gave me a fine foundation for going on to college. And my interest in athletics attracted some attention from the coaches at Millikan University, and so I was offered an athletic scholarship to attend Millikan.
What special sport were you interested? Did you like most?
Well, in a small school like Clinton, you played all the sports, beginning with football, and then basketball, and then track. But probably my best sports were basketball and track. And so that's, I did not continue playing football in college, but I did continue with the basketball and the track. And I remember Ralph Allen, who was now deceased, was the coach out at Millikan, and he made several trips to Clinton, and I was very impressed with the university. I wanted to go probably more to a small university than to a larger one, and because I did want to participate in athletics, and so Millikan gave me a fine opportunity. So
you enrolled in Millikan?
Yes, I enrolled in Millikan, and I enrolled in the teaching field at Millikan. And
were you going to be a coach?
I was going to be a coach and a teacher, yes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, all through college, that's what my degree was in, finally was in coaching and teaching. But my junior and senior year, I took several business courses, and we had a professor in business heading the business department, Glenn Smith. I don't know if you remember Glenn or not. But
he was interviewed on this series.
Oh, is that right? Well, Glenn, exceptional person, and he talked to me several times about shouldn't I be interested maybe in business as opposed to education? And not that he just thought there were more opportunities in the business field. And so at Glenn's urging, well, I did take some business courses, and then as a result, when I did my senior year, I did several interviews with businesses that came to Millikan, and then decided on accepting a position following graduation with the Illinois Bell Telephone Company. And so I was real pleased with this. So even though my teaching degree has helped me a great deal, because you know, even in business, you're working with people, and you've got to communicate with people the same as you have to communicate with students, and you've got to motivate people same as you need to motivate students. So there isn't that much difference between business and education.
And I know as a customer of your bank that your teaching is a very important part of the service you offer. Well, your clients really need teaching too.
Well, and our employees need continued education too. So it's very important. Mm-hmm. And I was real pleased with my education at Millikan. I think it's a fine institution. Mm-hmm. It's, as you know, a small liberal arts college. Our enrollment when I was at Millikan was probably around 1,400 or 1,500. And that was back in I graduated in 53, I began in 1949. And it was interesting because that was right after a great many of the veterans were coming back from World War II. And I was a young boy right out of high school, and we had sort of a mix of students between the older veterans that have been through the wars, and so I think I probably learned a great deal from some of my friends that were a little older at that time.
And you had a good deal of competition, too.
Yes.
It helped.
It helped. I think Millikan gave a very well-rounded education. And and Millikan has been so important to our city of Decatur. Mm-hmm. And it's just added to the quality of life. And I just think that that's one of the big pluses we have in attracting people to come to Decatur.
Well, I'm sure we all agree with you on the influence of Millikan University. I believe we left you with the Illinois Bell, did we?
Yes. I was with Illinois Bell. If I could digress just a second, while Millikan, couple of things happened that we were extremely proud of. As I mentioned, I was in athletics, and we continued athletics at Millikan. And for a small school, my junior year, we won second place in the national basketball tournament in Kansas City.
Well,
and so that was an honor that we achieved. And I can still remember the crowds meeting us at the train station when we got home, and for a small boy out of Clinton, why, this was quite an experience for me. And yes, I think athletics, every aspect of your life teaches you something, And in athletics, I think you also learn some things that maybe you can't learn right out of a textbook. And you learn to give and take a little bit with people. And I think you begin to also appreciate the other person too, whether he's in competition with you or a teammate of yours, you appreciate what they're doing.
Did you have any pressure to go into athletics professionally?
I didn't have any pressure. I had a couple of offers to go in to professional basketball, but realistically, I wasn't the caliber of player that could achieve very much in professional athletics. So we decided, I met my wife at Millikan, and in fact, we went together for about 3 years in college. And so she had a pretty important part in my decisions, what I was going to do after school. And we decided that professional athletics at that time was not the route to go.
Even today it would be hard.
We decided that we would like to try our hand in business, and that's when I did accept a position with the Illinois Bell Telephone Company. And my first assignment with the telephone company was in Peoria, Illinois. And the telephone company, again, would give you excellent training, both in communication skills and selling, and just a good business training. I've always looked a little bit at my experience with Illinois Bell as sort of like a advanced master's degree, because they were so involved in giving training to their management people. I had a little interruption with the telephone company, excuse me, in the Korean War, and so I left the telephone company for a couple years and served in the artillery division in the Army. And I did not go overseas, but I stayed pretty much stateside. Stayed at Fort Smith, Arkansas. So continued some of my athletic skills down there. And but thank goodness the Korean War ended, and I didn't go overseas, and then came back and rejoined Illinois Bell.
Great.
All right, from Peoria then, after I rejoined Illinois Bell, I was sent to Springfield, Illinois, as the assistant commercial manager of the telephone company. And we enjoyed Springfield. Every community we've been in, we've enjoyed, but it's interesting that each community is a little different. Springfield is so enthralled with the political atmosphere, it's entirely different than Peoria or Decatur, but we did enjoy Springfield. And then from Springfield, I was transferred to Decatur, Illinois, as the manager of the Illinois Bell Telephone Company, and stayed in as manager of Illinois Bell for approximately 4 or 5 years. An interesting experience while I was manager. We changed all the telephone numbers in Decatur. We went from a 4-digit number to a 7-digit number. And everybody thought it was going to be the end of communication, because no one could remember 7 digits of a telephone number. And one of the main jobs I had to do was to try to satisfy everybody that the world wasn't coming to an end, that they could remember 7 numbers, and it wasn't going to be that bad. And when I look at it today, why, we have 10 and 11 numbers when we're dialing, and no one thinks anything about it. But at that time, it was a pretty traumatic experience, because we were changing all the telephone numbers in Decatur, and the reason for that was so we could go to this automatic dialing. And there were a lot of editorials in the newspaper saying that it was wrong, and people wanted to keep their numbers because it was in their families for so many years. And they had many legitimate reasons, but with progress, there was change necessary, and thank goodness, after about 6 months, everything quieted down and everyone realized that they could remember the numbers and there wasn't that much difficulty with it. But that was sort of an interesting sideline. I realized when I was in Decatur that at that time we had two small children, and we wanted to remain in a community like Decatur to raise our family. And I recognized that if I was going to remain with Illinois Bell, I would probably be transferred eventually to Chicago and then maybe on to New York. Mr. Sam Bradfield was president of the National Bank of Decatur at that time, and he contacted me to see if I would have any interest in joining the bank in Decatur. And after a lot of consideration by myself and my wife, why we decided we wanted to make our roots in Decatur and that we wanted to stay in our community with our friends. And so I decided to leave Illinois Bell Telephone Company after approximately 10 years and join the National Bank. And my first position at the bank was a assistant vice president, and I was sort of the marketing and the public relations man for the bank, and trying to again learn a new profession. And so I learned, tried to get into each department of the bank to find out what was going on. And Mr. Bradfield and the fellow officers at the bank were really nice to me, and so it made it easier for an outsider to come in.
So you now are finally with the bank here.
I was with the bank. I had another short leave. After 2 years with the bank, the president of Millikan University asked me to be vice president of the university and financial advisor for the university. So I went out to the university for about 2 years. I remained on the board of directors of the bank, and then when the president retired, I believe it would have been approximately 20 years ago, it would have been in 1967, the board asked me to return to the bank as president of the bank, and that's the position I am right now.
So tells us how you have come up the ladder.
Sort of how I've come up the ladder, and I've been a varied background as a career, but I think every move that I've made, I hope I've learned something, and I think I have, and it has helped me in my position that I hold today.
Now, you probably have noticed many changes in banking, even during the time you have been here. What are some of the most important changes that you've noticed?
Well, certainly the, you know, we talked about this, but the training of the people. I think the people are a lot more professional now because of the extensive training they're receiving. And certainly the automation that we have now that... you know, you come into a bank and you see all the little computers on the people's desk, and you come into a bank today and you make a deposit, and right away they tell you what's in your account. It's automatically, it connects right to the computer. You can go outside the bank and even have deposits taken by automatic tellers, where they're machines that will take deposits, and I think that would have been quite astonishing to some of our forefathers that were in the banking profession. That's right. I you look back and when they had the quill and the pen. Now I don't know that we're any more accurate today than they were, because they were extremely accurate. But just with the volume of transactions that we handle. When I joined the bank in 1967, we were about a $30 million bank, and today we're about a $210 million bank in assets. Our bank is 113 years old, and we are the oldest national bank in Decatur. Now, We're not the oldest bank in Decatur because Millican Bank is a couple years older, but we were a national bank before they were, so we're the oldest national bank in Decatur. We were talking about railroading in Clinton. Our bank was originally started by railroad families, the Burroughs and Pennycord families, and they started by just having a safe in one of our buildings. And so we've grown from that to where we are today. We also have been able to branch lately. The last few years have been the first time the banks in Illinois have been able to establish branches. We have, and currently we have 3 branches of our bank.
You could have facilities close to the bank earlier. How did that work?
Well, you could have facilities if they were adjoining the bank.
Oh, yes.
And then the first change said that you could have facilities, I believe it was a half a mile from the bank. And then we built one at Prairie and Broadway Street. That was probably the first drive-in in Decatur. Mm-hmm. And then they enlarged that, said you could go 2 miles from your main bank. And so we built a nice bank at Main and Water Street, where the intersection of McKinley Street is. And that's been extremely popular because people are, the north section of Decatur, as you know, has been the section that's really grown. And so putting a bank out there where the growth has been a big plus for our bank.
And a great convenience for your customers, too.
We think so. We think so. And this is the name of the game in banking now, mm-hmm. is to provide good banking services, provide convenient banking services, and that's why we try to have parking lots near the bank. And I know your story about how you happened to select our bank because you got into our parking lot, and but that's important to people. You want to make it as easy as possible for them to bank, and so we're proud of our facilities, and we think this is just the beginning, that there are going to be a lot more changes coming in banking.
Well, what will some of those changes be?
Well, right now we're seeing that banks are being purchased. Holding companies are buying banks, and this is again a change in our law that enables this. Our two major competitors in Decatur, the Millican National Bank, is now owned by a bank holding company out of Belleville, Illinois. The Citizens National Bank, our other competitor, main competitor, is owned by a holding company out of Peoria, Illinois. We're the last largest, we are the largest community bank in Decatur now. But that's not to say that maybe down the road we might be owned by somebody else, because there is this change in banking that there is the purchasing power. The larger banks are beginning to buy up some of the smaller banks.
Are there advantages and disadvantages to that, or just all on the plus side, or what's the story?
Oh, I think there are some major advantages to it, and there are some strong disadvantages. Of course, the advantage that they say is that they have more assets and they have more capabilities of doing more for the smaller banks. The big disadvantage that we see is that many times the large holding companies that are outside the community lose a little feel of what's going on in the community. And we think it's better that we can make our own decisions, like for Decatur, rather than decisions being made in communities outside Decatur. Because every community is a little different, and that's why our position right now is that we want to remain a strong community bank.
Well, one big factor is a rather, I don't know whether it's significant or insignificant, but even the name change bothers a lot of people.
Oh, I think that's right. I think because currently we will probably be acquiring some smaller banks around Decatur, mm-hmm. But it was our idea that if we do this, we would like to leave the names and the identity of those smaller mm-hmm. banks alone, because we think it's important to have the communities have banks that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there will be an expansion between states?
Oh, I do, yes. In fact, the law just passed in Illinois says that there will be a national trigger, is what they how they call it, by 1990, that will allow any state, any bank in any state, to come into any other state and buy banks. And where our current law is that it is only for adjoining states mm-hmm. around Illinois, like Wisconsin and Michigan and Missouri, that by 1990 it'll open the door so anyone can go any place.
That sounds like a major change, is it?
Yeah, it, very much so. It's a major change, and you're going to see a lot of the larger banks in New York and California, probably extending into the state of Illinois, and you're going to see some of consolidation of a lot of the major banks. But even in doing this, there's still a good place for a community bank. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the future for our bank looks super right now.
Great. Well, now, there are other changes that the average person notices. The fact that you can go into a store and they seem to offer some of the services that banks used to offer, or you go to buy a car and they can finance it just the way the bank did or does. What's that story?
Well, everybody's getting into our field, and this is why bankers have been pushing our legislators so much recently, is that we want a level playing field. You can buy purchase financing for a car from many different sources outside a bank. And probably one of our biggest competitors right now in the credit card business is Sears Roebuck, mm-hmm. because they offer their own credit cards. GMAC offers automobile financing. Any insurance brokers or mutual fund brokers, they'll offer savings accounts. And so what we're trying to seek for the banks is the ability for us to offer some other services. Mm-hmm. We think it's only fair if the insurance men are selling money market funds that banks be allowed to sell insurance also. Mm-hmm. And that if we wanted to, not that we would, but any type of service that a person would want, we should have the opportunity mm-hmm. to offer it at a bank.
Maybe you could offer stocks?
Stocks and bonds, that's right. But I think the real one that we're really pushing for now would be insurance, because we think that there's a natural tie-in to financial services and insurance. Mm-hmm. And this is one that's meeting a great deal of opposition by the insurance agents, mm-hmm. because they don't want competition in their field. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like they want to do what we're doing, but they don't want to let us do what they're doing. So but I think this is going to change. And I think in the future you're going to see banks being able to offer mutual funds. We're going to be offering to sell insurance. We'll even maybe have mortgage companies where we can sell homes. And I think in the future, while we've changed a lot this last 113 years, I think the big changes are yet to come.
Mm-hmm. And what about control at the top level of Federal Reserve Board and so on? Do you have problems that come down to the local bank with that situation?
Well, our only problems is that they do control the money supply. And by controlling money supply, they have a direct bearing on what interest rates mm-hmm. are. And as you know, starting in 1980, we had extremely high interest rates. We had interest rates that escalated up to as high as 20%. Mm-hmm. And since that time, since Mr. Reagan's been our president, the interest rates have come down, and we have had a very strong person in charge of our Federal Reserve, Mr. Volcker, and he has taken upon himself and the Federal Reserve to keep inflation intact, because I can remember not too many years ago our biggest enemy to everybody was inflation, especially the people that were on retired and fixed incomes. Inflation was going so high that they couldn't live on their incomes. And so thanks to Mr. Volcker and the Federal Reserve and our president, why, we said, this can't happen. And as a result, interest rates went higher. We have gone through a recession. We have, but we have inflation under control, and hopefully that's going to be one of the major responsibilities that the Federal Reserve will always have. And Mr. Volcker just announced a few days ago he would not seek a third term, and Mr. Greenspan has been appointed now to head the Federal Reserve, and I look at this as a positive note. I think he's a very capable individual, and while Mr. Volcker was extremely influential, especially in the international markets, I think Mr. Greenspan will carry on and do an excellent job.
You don't foresee any great changes there?
No, I really don't. I think he's a fine individual, and given the time, why, he will attain the same stature of Mr. Volcker.
Yeah. Well, you talked a bit about the future of banking. Do you have anything more you'd like to add to that?
Well, I just...
It looks pretty rosy.
Yes, I think it does. I think, you know, I'm asked many times to talk to young people about careers and what fields they should be now selecting, and so I'm pretty positive on the field of banking and of financial services. I have two sons that are in banking. One is in Phoenix, Arizona with the Valley National Bank, and another son is in Washington, D.C. with the United Banks of Virginia. So they're young men, and I think they can establish a fine future in the banking field. And so I'm very positive as to what is going to happen with banking.
Well, very good. Well, what about the future of Decatur?
Well, Decatur's been through a rough time. Decatur has always, in recent years, has been an industrial town, with our largest employer being Caterpillar Tractor Company, and then with the Staley Company and the Mueller Company. And with this recession that we've been through, it's been difficult for the manufacturing cities to grow. If anything, we've probably curtailed, and we've reached a plateau now where I think Decatur in the future can grow from. But our big employers are going to be reducing their workforce, so I think there has to be smaller service industries created, and I think this will happen in Decatur. An example, at one time, I think Caterpillar Tractor Company employed pretty close to 6,000 people. Well, I think the future of that plant now, with automation and everything, is going to be around 2,500 people. Mm-hmm. But we have a great many new businesses opening up, and I think the service industry is really what's going to continue. Decatur's going to be a fine community. Mm-hmm. We have an excellent quality of life in Decatur, and it's a good city to bring up a family, and it's interesting when executives are transferred to Decatur, they always wonder where it is. Are we still with the cowboys and the Indians, especially if they live out east? And they always a little reluctant to transfer to Decatur. But once they've been here for some time, then they're reluctant to leave. So I think that speaks pretty well for our community.
Well, your wife and family may think you stay at the bank all the time, but I'm sure you have some time to yourself. What do you do in your time that you are not at the bank?
Well, I have, as I mentioned, the two sons that are grown, and one located in Phoenix and one located in Charlotte, in Washington, D.C. I have a third son that's located in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then our young daughter is a student at University of Missouri, at Columbia, Missouri. And she's in journalism school down there. So it keeps us busy keeping track of the families. We also have a new granddaughter in Phoenix, and so we enjoy traveling and seeing the children. We enjoy our friends. Both my wife and I play golf and tennis, and try to stay active that way. So in Decatur, there's a lot to do, and we're not that far from St. Louis or Chicago, so we enjoy traveling. And so while I do spend a lot of time at the bank, there is a lot of time that we spend with the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds as if you have had a really satisfactory life, both at home and at the bank. It sounds as if you have had an extremely interesting career, and you have certainly contributed a great deal to the community. So we do thank you very much for sharing your experiences with us, Mr. Luttrell. And we I know that our banking interests are in safe hands, and that Decatur is a place that will continue to offer opportunities such as you've had.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be with you this morning.
Thank you.
Bye.
You have been listening to the reminiscences of Mr. John Luttrell, president of the First National Bank of Decatur. And this is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library.